All right, well done, Terry. He's on top of it up there. It's good. Well, we're into this series we've been doing, if you're visiting, on the kingdom of God. And we're talking about the kingdom of God for a whole lot of reasons. But the number one reason that I wanted to talk about the kingdom of God is because it's the language that Jesus used. And so when Jesus uses this language of the kingdom of God a lot, and especially if you read the books of Matthew and Luke, but it is also in Mark and John, if Jesus is using this language of the kingdom of God, we better pay attention, work out what on earth he's talking about, and try and understand it. And so it's important that we understand the kingdom of God. Now, we talked in the introduction, I reminded us last week, here's a definition of the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ. What is the reign of God in Christ like? What's it like? What's part of it? Well, eternal life's part of it. Jesus is part of it. There's a whole lot of things, but when you think of the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ, we talked about how the kingdom is both present and future. We talked about how Jesus said the kingdom of God has come near. It's right now. The power of God is here, present right now. But we talked about how we've got to also hold on to that the kingdom is future as well, yes? Otherwise, we'd be really confused why there's all this trouble, right? While we're praying for people facing difficulty this morning, we have to be going, well, what's going on? Well, the kingdom of God is present. The peace, the power of the Holy Spirit is with us, but the complete revelation of the reign of God is still to come. When what? What are we waiting for?
Jesus'
return. Return of the Lord. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And as much as people want to poke fun at that, we're told in the Bible that the reason Jesus hasn't come yet because God is what? He is patience. So he's patient. He's waiting for more people to become part of God's family, like celebrating this morning in baptism. He was waiting for Kez and for Jackson, amen? That's good news. And so don't be afraid when people poke fun and say, well, where is this Jesus? He was supposed to come back. You give thanks. Every time someone makes fun of that to me, I give thanks. I thank you, God, that you've welcomed some more people into your family. But one day, God's finding Jesus is coming and the kingdom is going to be revealed and all that means. So I talked about the reign of God as a kingdom. The kingdom is present now, but we're waiting for Jesus to completely see that picture. And just to mention as well, that in the Matthew, the term the kingdom of heaven is used. In Luke and Mark, more often the kingdom of God, the same thing. Don't be confused. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to talk about this morning's topic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you teach us what your reign is like. The great king of all the world, the one that's in charge of everything, past, present, and future. You reign, and you tell us what your reign is like. Thank you that we get to be part of it. That because of what Jesus has done, as we're going to celebrate in communion, because Jesus died for us, we're going to celebrate him in baptism, because of what Jesus did when he died and rose again, we can be part of the kingdom of God. We can be part of the reign of God forever and ever because of what Jesus has done. We give you thanks for that. But help us, God, to think and pray about the kingdom of God. You told us to pray your kingdom come, so help us to really just press in this term and learn more about the kingdom, be more prayerful about the kingdom, chase after kingdom things more than anything else in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about the unfairness of the kingdom. The unfairness of the kingdom. Now, you might think I'm going to get struck down by calling God's reign unfair. I hope not, but we'll see how we go. But if you listen to the story, you understand where I'm coming from. Now, if you're a parent, even if you're not a parent, you've probably heard the kids say it. That's not
fair.
That's not fair. I mean, we get it all the time. I mean, I love my kids. They're pretty good kids, but we get it. That's not fair. You never say it, do you, Rachel? No, of course not. That's not fair. Rebecca, no, I won't go into that. You never say it, do you, Beck? No, no. Every parent's heard it, well, except maybe Mary and Joseph. Imagine being Jesus' brothers and sisters, you know? Jesus did. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was me. Yeah. So they're the only parents that haven't heard it. Every other parent has heard their kids say, that's not fair, right? I mean, from a very early age, from birth really, our human nature is to get what we deserve, isn't it? Maybe get a little bit more than what we deserve, so we get a bit more than the others, right? Then we're really happy if we get a bit more than what the others get. It's human nature from birth. Our human nature is to get what is ours, to get what we deserve, to make sure we get at least the same as everybody else, if not a bit more. Now, with kids, some things they complain about and say, that's not fair, I kind of understand, right? One of the favourites in our family, I'm sure you've had this, who gets to sit in the front seat? You had that one? It's not fair! It's my turn! And we've actually picking up the score some days, so we've now just gone, right, you're on this day, you're on that day, you're on that day, and you're on that day. Don't argue about it, I don't care whether we pick you up or not, you're Friday, don't ask any other day. Because we're sick of saying, that's not fair, who's in the front? And it kind of makes sense, I guess, the front seat of the car, you're up front, you know, you see a bit more, you're next to your dad, so you feel safer, or you're next to mum, so you know you've got an airbag. But you can see why the kids would say that's not fair in the front seat, but there's other things kids do just because they get it right. I was listening to a comedian the other day, and he's talking about things where kids say that's not fair and it doesn't make sense. How about this one? Pressing the button in the elevator. I mean,
really?
Lovely, normal children like mine can turn into ferals when you get in the elevator because it's not fair. It's my turn to press it, right? I mean, as adults, you walk in and someone says, oh, what level? Level 3? And you're like, why, thank you. There's one less thing I've got to worry about today, right? So I'll press the button. Oh, it's really? Why, thank you. But kids, it's my turn. No, I pressed it last time.
Oh,
it's not
gosh.
Fair. And don't get me started on the walkways on the side of the traffic lights. Kids, that's not fair. It's just not fair. But I guess the question is, are adults really so different? We may not have the same tantrums. We're a bit the same, aren't we? A bit closer to the parable that we just read that was talking about workers' pay. I mean, I spent 17 years in Woolies as a Woolies manager. Man, the gossip and carry on over who gets paid what. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. Constant gossip, complaints. And then you would have the yearly reviews where you got a pay rise with the confidential pay rise that everyone would then go and talk about and gossip about and complain about. And, oh, I got a map drop, $1,000, and I got only $800. Oh, the carry on about, that's not fair, I didn't get as much as them. The bakery managers who would whinge because their bakery manager got penalty rates and so he got paid more than the manager because they were doing the midnight to 8 a.m. shift. And it's not fair, it's not, we're all the same. So it's not just the kids. Well, I want to suggest from a human perspective, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, is not fair. Don't you, wait till we get to the end before you want to call me a heretic, okay? From a human nature perspective at least, I mean, God is perfectly fair and just. But when we look at it from a human perspective, we could say, hang on a minute, it looks a bit unfair here. I mean, did you read the story? Did you read the story as they were reading along there? Now we have this story about the kingdom of God. Now we're told in chapter 20, verse 1, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So in other words, Jesus is about to tell us what the reign of God is like. Let me tell you something, that the reign of God, it's like this. So we're about to learn something about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the reign of God in Christ, what is it like? And if you're following on the parable, we were told there was a landowner of a vineyard. Who's been in Hunter Valley and, you know, I don't like wine, but anyway, some of you might like going to chest some wine. Not for me. But lots of grapes and vineyards in the time of Jesus was a common kind of thing to do. And so there's a landowner, he's got a vineyard, and it's time to pick some grapes, he's got some work to do. So he goes into the town, it's 6 a.m. in the morning, right? 6 o'clock in the morning, who gets up by at least 6 each morning? A few of us? No, well done. Yeah, a few sleepy heads, that's okay. By the way, 6:30 a.m. prayer tomorrow morning upstairs. Come and join us. We'd love to have you there. But it's 6 a.m. and this vineyard, this landowner of the vineyard, he goes to town 6 a.m. and he sees the men standing around that are looking for work and he says, come and do some work on my vineyard. And even in some cultures today, you can go, this is still common, where they don't have a permanent job but they're standing around hoping that someone might hire them for the day. And so this man hires him at 6 a.m. in the morning and he agrees to terms to pay them 1 denarius. Now what's 1 denarius? 1 denarius is about the minimum wage for a day labourer in that time of Jesus. So it was a very minimum wage, but it's the very sort of low basic wage for a day. We could say, I think when we read the Message translation that Gail said $1, that's not really accurate in our terms. You might say $100 a day would be kind of like the minimum I guess you'd pay someone, right? Makes sense? Stay with me? So he goes out and says, at 6 a.m, I'm going to give you $100 to come and work, and you work from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. for $100. That's a bit of hard work, isn't it? And so off they go and they start work. And they start work in the field, and they're out there, and they're picking the grapes, getting them all sorted. Well, there's still more work to do, so at 9 a.m., so now it's 9 a.m., he goes back into town, there's more men standing around. Oh, do you want to come and work on the vineyard? Yep, okay, well come and work on the vineyard and I'll pay you a fair wage. That's all we know in the story at this point. So the ones at 6 a.m. he told them, they're getting a denarius, we're going to say $100 so that we understand. So 6 a.m. people, he said, we'll pay you $100. 9 a.m. I'll pay you a fair wage. So off they go and do their work. Midday comes along, he's back in town and there's more men standing there doing nothing. I'll hire you, come and work for the rest of the day, pay you a fair wage, okay? Then he goes back again at 3 p.m. There's only 3 hours of work left, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And he, same thing, sees these men standing around not doing anything. Come and work on the vineyard, I'll pay you a fair wage. And then finally, at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, how long left for work to go?
1 hour.
Only 1 hour of work to go. Still see some people there, some men standing around doing nothing. He says, well, look, you come and work on my vineyard for just the last hour of the day, and I'll pay you a fair wage. Kind of all makes sense now. Now, one of the things we have to remember with parables is we often miss the shot. For a couple of reasons. Number one, not to embarrass people, but who's been going to church for more than 30 years? All right. So maybe half of people here have been to church a long time, right? So they've heard the parables a lot of times, so that's the one reason you miss the shot. The second reason is just culturally we don't understand some of the things that are shocking there. So don't let the shock miss you when we get to the end of this parable. Because it gets to the end of the day, 6 p.m. And so the owner of the vineyard, he gets the foreman who's in charge to call the workers over to pay them. So he calls them over and he lines them up. But what he does is, what I want to do is the ones that started last, the ones that started at 5 p.m, they're going to be at the front of the line and get paid first, right? And so he lines them up to pay them. Now we're using our modern equivalent of $100 today, right? And so we've got these people lined up. Some started at 6 a.m. in the morning and worked 12 hours in the sun. But he starts with the ones that worked only from 5 to 6 for 1 hour. And they line up at the table and get paid. And the landowner or the foreman there pays them for 1 hour's work $100. Now imagine you're at the back of the line and you've been working since 6 a.m. And you're going, hey, Obed, what's 12 times 100? I mean, they didn't go to school very much in those days. That's $1,200 for us. I mean, the ones that only work an hour, they got 100. We're going to get $1,200. But then the people that started at 3 p.m. get paid. And what do they get paid?
The same.
$100. Then the ones that started at midday get paid. And they get paid?
$100.
The ones that started at 9 a.m. get paid?
$100.
And then finally it comes to these poor people that have worked from 6 a.m. and they get paid how much?
$100.
Now, that does not seem fair to me. Does that seem fair to you?
No.
That seems very... Could you imagine... Now, I know we'll come back to this. We think it's all okay, but this is what they say in verse 11 and 12. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 11 and 12 of chapter 20. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner... Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat. Now, some people I've read some books about this parable, and they go, well, they shouldn't complain. I mean, they were told they're going to get paid $100, and, you know. I mean, come on, wouldn't you complain?
Mm.
I would. If I'd worked 12 hours, and that person worked 1 hour, and they got paid the same as me, I would have complained. I'm sorry. That's what we would do. So don't miss how shocking this is and go, yeah, but I shouldn't have complained. There's like none of you who complain. Come on. We have unions, right?
Yep.
This isn't fair. That's not fair. We'd be the same. Well, the landowner says this in verse 13 and 14. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I want to pay the last worker the same as you. So we've got this unfair work situation from a human perspective. Now remember, what is this story teaching us about? The kingdom of God. Whew. Now that's a bit scary, isn't it? We're sitting there going, this is so unfair. And yet Jesus says, this is what the reign of God in Christ is like. How in the world does that make sense? I mean, you're telling me that, you know, last week Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, don't know you need God, right? You're telling me he's been a famous evangelist for, he lived to 99, and, you know, so many people became Christians. You're telling me he gets the kingdom of God, he gets the reign of God for eternity, and this guy that was in prison, that killed someone, and he accepted Jesus, he gets the reign of God in heaven. I mean, that's not fair, is it? Jesus said, yes, this is the grace of God for every person, right? Amen? This is the grace of God for every person. And in verse 15, it says this. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? And then I like this next bit. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? I love that. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? Jesus says, don't be so worried about whether you're getting the same. What? Let's get excited that people are getting accepted. Amen? I mean, I've got over this a long time ago. I'm so glad there's some 5 o'clock workers. I've sat in hospital with a couple of 5 o'clock workers, and it was moving, and it was awesome. Who's known a couple of 5 o'clock workers? I mean, hopefully you're not jealous. We're giving thanks, aren't we? The grace of God covers every person. It's not about whether you've been a Christian for 8 years or whether it's 10 years. The grace of God is good enough for every single person. I love this 11th hour Christians, and we should be praying for 11th hour Christians and 3 p.m. Christians and midday Christians, right? But I guess then for me, as I started thinking about this parable, another question comes up. We can kind of go, well, that sounds good. Everyone's got a chance. Even though in a sense it seems unfair because some have, you know, oh, man, I was a pastor. Come on, God. Aren't I a bit more special? And God says, no, everyone can have eternal life. Everyone. But there's another question that kind of follows from that. And I think about this verse when we're talking about the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so we said last week, if you're here, that there's nothing more important than the kingdom of God. That you should invest your life into announcing it. You should invest your life into learning about it. You should sacrifice anything you can and need to so that the kingdom of God is the most important thing in your life. But I guess the question then becomes, why? I mean, why am I working from 6 a.m. when some people come and work from 5 p.m., right? It's a little unfair. It's a fair question, isn't it? I mean, what's the point? And I want to suggest just two things as we think about this idea. And the first one is this. Real joy and peace and hope in this life is only found in Christ. Amen? I mean, we heard someone testify about their baptism today and what that's meant for their life, that something was missing. And so the first reason why, yes, I'm so thankful that there's some 5 o'clock Christians that only just got there, but at the same time, I want to be a 6 a.m. Christian, or maybe you're a bit older and you think, well, maybe I'm only a 12 p.m. or a 3 p.m. or whatever it is. I don't want to wait till 5 p.m. I want to be part of God's family and serve God as much as I can, yes, because it is the best life. Don't be fooled into thinking that, well, why don't we all just be lazy and just get in? I mean, actually, 1 Corinthians says there are some people that are going to get in by the skin of their teeth. It says it's like escaping through the flames. They're going to kind of have not much to show for their life, but they're going to be accepted by God as 11th hour Christians. But I don't want that for my life. You want that for your life? Escape through the flames and then realize you've wasted your life? The best life now, the life where there's real peace and real hope, is in Jesus Christ. That's where real life is found. And so the first reason why I'd say, well, it's great there's 11th hour, 5 o'clock Christians, but you know what, I want to be a 6 a.m. Christian if I can, is because it's the best life of all. But the second reason, and we're not going to get into a huge in-depth discussion this morning, it's for another passage, is that I want to stand before Jesus and see that my life counted for something. The Bible says, don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures where? So that does actually mean that you're storing up what? Treasures in heaven. The Bible actually talks about rewards. Now, we think about rewards in just practical ways. So we go, well, how's this going to work? If we're all perfect in heaven, how's this going to work? You know, is, you know, Billy Graham's going to be there with his big crown and a Ferrari, and I'm going to be there driving my Prius and, you know, just a cap. You know, is that how it's going to work? No. But I do believe rewards in heaven, we are going to enjoy those things that we've invested in this life. I do believe that. And even if you don't listen already, we're not going to get into an in-depth discussion. But I want my life to count for something when I stand before Jesus. So the two reasons, even though I'm so grateful that God allows people to be those 11th hour Christians, and right now there'll be many people that will be thinking of someone in their mind, I'm praying that this person will be an 11th hour Christian. Keep praying that, because there are some, aren't there? Keep praying that faithfully. But you know what? I want to be a 6 a.m. worker. Or a midday or 3 p.m., whatever it is for you. I want to invest my life in the kingdom of God because it's worth it. It's the best life. And I also want to stand before Jesus and see that these things that are going to last forever, because there's a whole lot of stuff that I've invested in that's never going to be seen again. But there's other things that I've done that are going to last forever. Amen? It's going to be good. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, with my life. And you go and read a bit more about what rewards in heaven, how that might work. Remembering that, where there's going to be no jealousy, there's going to be none of that, so we're not going to worry about who's got what, are we? But we're going to enjoy those things. But as we come to communion in a moment, I want to just think about this for a moment. Because I guess we've been talking about this idea that from a human perspective, the kingdom of God seems unfair, right? I mean, it seems like some people, you know, we're serving all our life and some just getting at the end. It seems unfair that there's 5 p.m. workers in one sense. But here is the thing. It's unfair for all of us. Because we're told that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So what does every single person deserve?
Death.
Death. Every single person deserves death because every person has rejected God. Everyone deserves death. But instead, Jesus dies for us. That's the good news, isn't it? Now, Jesus is the only one that can really say what? That's not fair. But he doesn't say that. He says, I love you, so I want to die for you. So the fact is, even though we might say, well, I've been a Christian all my life, I'm working hard, and this person's kind of jumped in the end, the reality is it's not fair for anyone, because every one of us deserves death. Even Billy Graham. And he acknowledged that many times in his life. He always acknowledged that he only stood by the grace of God. And so when you look at these passages and you go, well, it's not fair. It's not fair for every person who's in the same boat, saved only by the grace of God. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Jesus did it for us. We didn't do it. 1 John 14, I'm just Billy Graham, I've left that other verse out. Oh, that's the one, John, I got it mixed up. Oh, I've left one out. Romans 5:8, if I can remember off the top of my head, I think that's the why we were still sinners. Is that right, somebody? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 is the other one that I've left a slide out up there. So that says, while we were what? We were... It doesn't say why we were good workers, does it? It says, while we deserve death, that's what we deserve. The unfair thing is that we deserve death, but Jesus died for us. And that is the grace of God in this parable. So the kingdom of God is like this. It's the grace of God for every person who accepts it, because every one of us is a sinner. And instead of death, we get life. And I love this quote that's been floating around the internet after Billy Graham died. We get life instead of death. He said this, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just change my dress. I just love that quote. It was floating around the internet after he died. And it's fabulous, isn't it? Instead of death, we get the kingdom of God. We get eternal life. We don't get what we deserve. Praise be to God. Give thanks to God. So don't be worried about, you know, I'm working hard and that person's got this. You just stop and reflect that you've got the grace of God. And you serve Jesus as great as you can, because it's worth it in this life and it's worth it in the next life as well. But our debt's been paid. Instead of death, we get life. And that's what we celebrate in the communion meal. We celebrate. We celebrate the fact that we deserve death, but instead Jesus gives us life. And so I hope at this meal, maybe today is a good day to pray for the 5 p.m. vineyard workers. I know I've got people I've known that their whole life have rejected God, and I'm thinking, you know, when's that time? But there are 5 p.m. workers, aren't there? remember seeing him. Gail seen him? How old was Francis?
My mother was 101,
3 weeks before. 101, 3 weeks before. I mean, it's great, isn't it? Yep. Baptized at my last church, and 83-year-old she was, and become a Christian. Yeah. What's that? Maybe a 3 PM worker? I don't know. But I mean, it's great, isn't it? So I hope at this meal, instead of being jealous or angry, instead you're desperately going, God, you've shown me grace. Would you show grace to these people that, you know, maybe? And at the end of the day, you know what? Everyone's kind of a 5 o'clock worker. You do know that, because where is all life and breath held in God? I mean. There's a verse I like in the Bible that says, don't say I'm going to go and do this and that tomorrow. Say, if it is God's will, I'll go and do this or that. And I like that verse because it reminds us that God holds my life in his hands. And so I encourage you in this meal that we're going to enjoy together. It's a celebration of what Jesus has done, but it can also be a time where we pray for others. Because what more, as we give thanks that we've been shown the grace of God, we've been shown that we don't get what we deserve, we get eternal life, even though we're supposed to get death, we get life. What better place in thanks to that to start praying for others? And so this morning is your chance to pray that there might be more of those 5 PM workers, those people that you know that have rejected God, but God's grace is welcoming them today. It's open to them. And as we take communion together, we read in Corinthians that this meal was given to the church to continue. It says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So this meal is a meal that reminds us, the bread reminds us of Jesus' body that was broken, and the juice reminds us of his blood, that he died when we deserve death. The only one that can say it's not fair is Jesus. And so give thanks for the grace of God, but let's be praying this morning as well, as we give thanks to God that others might know his grace of God. If those that are serving might like to come forward while I pray. Pray and give thanks for God's grace. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you've given us the Bible. We thank you, Jesus, that you've taught these amazing stories that teach us about the kingdom of God, that teach us what the reign of God is like. And we thank you, God, as we read that there is this great reversal in the Bible. Things that seem important and valuable in this life are not in eternity before God. Things that seem powerful, having the most money, having the biggest family, having the best job, whatever it is, all these things that seem like they're the ones that have risen to the top in the next life are going to be seen. They're not the things that really count. Instead, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, and following Jesus, they're the things that are going to count for eternity. Lord, we also just want to thank you that your grace extends to every person. And we do particularly think of those that maybe are towards the end of their life and need to accept you. We pray for those 5 PM workers. We pray that there'd be a whole lot of those that we know. But Lord, for those of us that are growing up in the church, help us to be faithful with our work our whole life, recognizing that the best life is in following Jesus now, and recognizing that our reward is in heaven, our treasure's in heaven, our life is going to be count for something as we stand before Jesus. Thank you, God, that we don't get what we deserve, that Jesus died for our failures. He took that on himself. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing grace, and we pray that that grace would be revealed to many more people in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as is our tradition in our church, we like to eat the bread, remembering Jesus' body. And we'd love to hold onto a cup as a sign of our unity. We drink it together. So if you'd like to do that, you're invited to take communion this morning. You don't have to. And there is some gluten free there if someone would like it. That we don't get what we deserve, we rejoice again, and we pray that we might serve you faithfully, that we'll be your faithful workers, and that as we do that, you would use us to reach many people, and we might see many of our friends and family that have rejected you their whole life at that last time, they might come and they might accept Jesus and enter into eternal life. So God, keep us praying, keep us full of confidence and perseverance, both for our own life to serve you, but also perseverance in prayer for those that don't know you yet. Because we do know there are those workers that come late in the day that are part of your kingdom. Thank you for your amazing grace. You are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. He is a good God, isn't he? All the time. All the time. As the band comes ready to sing our last song, just a reminder, baptism 11:30 at Salts Bay. I'd encourage you, try and get down there by at least 20 past. Often where people are still coming after half past, and we're trying to get down there, if you can, by 20 past at least. And leave the spaces right down the car park for those that maybe are the 11th hour age. if you know what I mean, the younger. Just park up that side of the road there and leave the best spots for those that might need it.
Thank you. retreat.
Going to the baptism.
In the starting block.
This has got to get changed.
Right.
And I'll bring my dog down.
You've got to put your swimmers on.
It's a nice spot down there.
It
Salt
is.
Salt Spring. Yeah. 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 You're right for Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Bible study.
Oh, Bible study, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
seeing
bikes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll ride Wednesday or Thursday. You're right for that?
Yeah, I don't think it
matters
which day.
No. You're not going in the loop, the lake?
I was going to, and then I spoke to Ian. I thought maybe I'd just do from Dawson Spears, the half one.
Yeah.
But then Ann said, oh, I've just booked a hotel down in Wollongong on the 11th and 12th. We've got to go down to see our middle daughter before we go away. So.
Oh, yeah, you're going to Sri Lanka, yeah.
Not going
to
work.
Oh, yeah. No, not to worry.
Just shame.
Next year.
Yeah, we didn't discuss it.
Yeah, Ian's going.
Yeah.
All right. See you Tuesday.
Go home and get your bikini on for me.
That'll
no,
clear
I'm
the
going
place.
Home to get some shorts on, though.
Who are you talking to?
I just said to Mark, we'll park at his place and go through.
Mark?
Yeah, he's got a little store.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't. Tina.
Run, Tina. Run.
That's Oliver. Lovely songs, lovely service. Heather did a good job.
Roy has done or gets it done.
Okay, thanks. What, Thursday? Because it's going to rain for a week. It's going to rain for a week.
Yes, that's why I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
I want to cut it and then put some shirley down. You
know. Oh, that'll make it grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Should spray it with zero. Thanks, Roy. Thank
you, guys.
Well, that was nice of him.
I don't have to do it,
that's good.